Well, this morning we're teaching again on our subject of lining up with God's Word to receive healing. Last week we started teaching in what we call a third step, really. With the first step we looked at is, you know, really the God's will concerning healing, and found that it was God's will for man to be healed, for everybody to be well. That was God's plan. We began to look at, because the Word tells us that we got to believe that God is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so God's a giver. He rewards people, or He gives to people. And we looked at the fact that God is a giver. We spent a long time on that, is looking a lot of things about God and giving. And concerning God, we found definitely is a giver of healing. And so there's things that we must believe. We have to. Now, we started last week to look into the subject of healing, of how God gives healing. How does He do it? And looking at some of the methods that God uses healing. And what we did is we got over into James, the 5th chapter, and we looked at one of the things there. It was James, the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 16, which told that if anybody was sick, he was supposed to call the elders of the church, and they would pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And it says the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he's committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him. And then it said, confess trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we know in the church, God provides healing. He says specifically here in the church, or Christians, and James is written to Christians, and Christians, so it's God's plan for Christians to be well. If it wasn't, why would I, if I got sick, call for the elders of the church if God's will is not for everybody to be healed? I mean, wouldn't that be ludicrous? I mean, poor old James was so dumb, he didn't know. He was the head of the church at Jerusalem. Guy's a complete idiot. Didn't know any better. He didn't know and wasn't near as smart as all these preachers today. He wasn't near as smart as them. He didn't know. He was so dumb, he believed God wanted Christians well. And he said there was a plan set in the church for it. So, well, I'm going to just go with James. What the rest of them say really don't matter to me. I'm just going to go along with James. But it was put there specifically for the church to be made well. So we found that one thing is the prayer of faith. It says the prayer that was prayed in faith for that. It wasn't the oil heals anybody, but the oil really is a thing of contact. The oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is involved in the healing of people. And so we need to know, we need to understand that. So the fact that the Holy Spirit is represented here as oil, but the prayer of faith is what will heal the sick. It's the prayer of faith, and which we have talked about before. We'll talk about that again as we go on concerning the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith is when you pray, you believe you receive at the time that you pray. And so the prayer of faith is a specific prayer. It's not never prayed, or in other words, this person that comes and prays never asked if it's God's will for them to be healed. If a person said, well, if it be thy will, don't even bother praying. It just has, your prayer, you're not going to get anywhere. That is, if you're asking God, you know, questioning whether he wants to or not, that is not the prayer of faith. And so we don't want to head in that direction. Now, we want to look at another way as people were healed. We had talked about this in the teaching we did on Sundays, that when I was teaching on the name of Jesus. And also we looked at this before, but we want to go over, because we're looking at specifically ways that God heals. And we're going to look at Acts, the 3rd chapter. And we have here the story of the man who was healed at the gate, Beautiful. And we want to look at this because this is another way that God heals. We find out that from a scriptural standpoint that God heals this way. And in Acts, the 3rd chapter, starting in verse 1, says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. It was the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look on us. So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he says, and he took hold of him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with him, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So here we see a guy that's healed, and we see here that the name of Jesus was just used. In other words, they used the name of Jesus. He wasn't prayed for. This here, so it was the name of Jesus was used. There's numbers of times, I mean, I have, you know, heard in many instances and stuff, and I know there's times in ministering people, to people, I've ministered to people already just said in the name of Jesus, be healed. And they were healed. So you can minister in numbers of different ways, and here was a way that this man is one of the ways that a person is ministered to. I want to always, though, encourage you in this. It's one of the things you always want to listen to the Holy Spirit. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Now, the Bible will show us many different ways that God heals. But we need to understand this. We may minister in a certain way, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will move in that direction. But we need to understand this. You need to listen to the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit sometimes may tell you to do it in another way. And you want to be led by that and follow that. Because so many people just act like, you know, that ministry is just like some kind of formula. You know, Ken Kasich made a good statement. He said, you never saw Jesus, you know, minister and teaching people. And then, you know, he turned around and says, you know, step one, and we do this. There's nothing the matter that sometimes maybe certain things are taught that way. But we need to understand this. Is many times, I've had in many occasions, where a minister in different ways. I mean, one time I was a president of the Full Gospel Businessmen in Lebanon when they used to have the chapter here. And we were at one meeting, and we had a guest speaker, and the speaker got done speaking and that stuff. But we were going to minister to people. And I was sitting there just sort of minding my own business, not, you know, doing anything. And I knew I was, when the speaker was done, I knew I was going to have to get up, you know, and, you know, to direct the course of the meeting of what we were going to do after that, ministering, where we were going to minister to people, what we were going to do. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I started getting really strong chest pains. And I thought, gee, what's going on? Why am I getting these pains in my chest? I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? And I'm sitting there thinking, oh man. And, it wasn't like a heart attack. It was just like pain, like you got hurt or something. Something happened. I mean, I'm thinking, man, what is going on? And finally, you know, some things I don't catch on real quick, too. Finally, it dawned on me, you know, this isn't me. I'm sensing something that's going on in somebody else here. Somebody's in pain. So I stood up and I said, is there somebody here and you're just having severe pain right now in your chest? There's a guy in the back, he raised his hand. He turned out he's a Mennonite guy, and he was sitting way in the back, and I said, come up here. I said, God wants to heal you. And because sometimes it does work that way. Sometimes, and I've had this happen, you know, not all the time it doesn't happen, but I've had this happen a number of times. I get a sense that there's somebody has a certain, you know, problem. And what happens, I sense it through the fact that it seems like I have it. And that happens. That's sometimes in ministering to people. So this, and I knew God wanted to heal him, that's what God wanted to do. So I knew that if I was sensing that, then God wanted to take care of that. I know that. So the guy comes up, and I lay a hand on him, and I start to pray for his healing. And it's just like inside of me, this ain't going to go nowhere. And it kept saying, baptism of the Holy Ghost kept coming to me. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I thought, the guy's in pain. What had happened? He'd gotten kicked by a cow before he came. He was out milking. Got kicked in the chest by a cow. Well, I don't know if you've ever gotten kicked by a cow or around cows. I'm going to tell you what. Cows can kick. I mean, you just check how big they are. You don't want to be strong. They're big enough to hurt you. And this guy is in real bad pain. So I'm thinking about that, and it just keeps coming to me, and I stopped praying. So I started back, laid my hand on him again, and it came to me again, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Like I said, sometimes I'm slow. I did it three times. And finally I stopped, and I said, have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? He said no. I said, well, you are going to get filled now. I laid my hand on him. He started speaking in tongues and got healed instantly. God did want to heal him, but he wanted to get him filled with the Holy Ghost too. See, why'd God do it that way? I don't know. But see, I could have tried to follow what I wanted to do and it wouldn't have worked. Even though it would have been a scriptural, it would have been scriptural for me to lay hands on him and pray for him. It would have been scriptural if I had just said, be healed in the name of Jesus. That would have been scriptural. But that wasn't the way the Holy Ghost was moving. So you always want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So if you move in a direction of the Word, make sure, because there's more than one way. And so we need to know, when we're ministering to people, you don't always minister the same way. Most people always do the same thing all the time. That's why things don't work, because really people don't hook up with the Holy Spirit. You know, we may as a baby Christian get away with numbers of things because we don't know any better. But God does expect us to come to the place to start to figure out what's going on, and we do it through listening to the Holy Ghost. So you always want to do that. We don't just decide how we want to minister it. And we need to know that. We always want to be sensitive to how the Holy Spirit wants to minister. If He wants to do something else, you need to be sensitive to it. It's just like the thing kept coming to me, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, all He said, the guy, you know, I said to him, I said, you been filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, no. I said, you want it? He said, yeah. I said, well, you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Laid my hands on him. I said, all I just said, I never instructed the guy at all. I just said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. He started speaking in other tongues and got healed. And so God determined to do it that way, and that's the way He wanted to do it. And so it's always good to follow the Holy Ghost. I believe here in this incident, I believe this is really a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. These guys are walking into the temple. Understand, Jesus has been at this in at the temple. If this guy has been for all these years sitting in the temple at this gate beautiful, then that means when Jesus was in the temple ministering, this guy was there too, and he hadn't gotten healed. See, I don't believe, none of it. Jesus preached in that temple. We know this, when He ran the people, when He ran the guys that were doing the, selling the doves and doing all the things, He ran them out of the temple. It says the people came to Him and He healed them. In other words, Jesus was in there. We know this. Jesus, the Bible says, taught in the temple. We know this. This guy didn't pay no attention to teaching. He had himself a system over here that he's running where he gets money. And he didn't pay no attention. This guy had zero faith. Understand this. This guy didn't get healed by his faith. He got healed by the faith of Peter and John. He did not get healed by... He had no faith in the name of Jesus. He didn't even know what was going on. He didn't know what's happening. This guy's been... He ain't paid no attention to Jesus when Jesus was in the temple. He didn't pay no attention to it because he didn't know what was going on. All those times, people have gotten healed in that temple. He didn't get healed. But we find here, so we have what really took place. Peter and John are paying attention, not him. And so, this is one thing. Peter and John, Peter's being led by the Holy Spirit. And so, you want to be led by the Holy Spirit. But we see that this is one way that the Spirit of God ministers. The Holy Ghost can minister in many different ways and do things. But the general things that we're going to look at are general ways that the Holy Spirit ministers to people, ministers healing. So you want to know that, because most of the time he leads and guides people in these ways, one way or the other. You'll see lots of times they're ministered. Most of the time, you know, there's a lot of times if you get around, say, missionary evangelists or different ones, like you take Benny, like even Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn, you don't see him often, like, say, individually just prays for people for healing. Most of the time, he's standing in front of a group of people and he ministers healing just by speaking things over people. And then people come up and give testimonies of what God did. So he's not even laying hands on anybody. He's not doing that. You'll find that that's common. Like in Reinhard Bonnke and them, they don't individually go lay hands on people in their meetings. You know, you have a half a million to a million people show up. You know, the line would be so long, you'd be there for 15 days to get through, you know, a quarter of them. I mean, you can't do that. And so God ministers in that way. You don't have the time to do those things. This is why sometimes people need to seek God on what to do. Another thing, you know, and you have to be careful yourself, because I've had this happen to me over the years. to minister to people, God tells me how He wants a person ministered to, and the person don't like it. They want, you know, I want a hand laid on me. I want prayed. It's sort of like Naaman coming. You know, well, the prophet just told me to get out and dip in the Jordan. Well, ha! I thought he'd come out and wave his hand over me. He didn't even do that. There's many people. I've seen people who don't get healed of me. I remember Brother Hagin was a meeting. Brother Hagin stood up and he called up two people who were on the Rhema Singers and Band. He said, the Lord wants you to minister healing to the people tonight. He wants you to lay hands on people. There's people who got all kind of disappointed. I want to be have my hand laid on by Brother Hagin. I want to be touched by God, you idiots. These people are just downright stupid. But see, many people, they have their agenda. And that's why a lot of people don't get delivered and a lot of people don't get healed and stuff, because they will not listen. They have their agenda, how they want to have things, and so things don't work for them. You know? Well, I want so-and-so to lay hands on me. I want, if I want my hands laid on me, I want the one that God wants to do the hand laying on. That would be the one I would want. Not the one that I came and I decided I want. See, a lot of people, they just don't, they don't like that. They don't, you know, they don't care for that. I know there's people like, say, even like with Rhema, they would go out to Rhema to prayer and healing school. Well, Brother Hagin, when he was there, he didn't always minister prayer and healing school. A lot of times he didn't. He had other people minister. But you know, just as many miracles took place through those other people that ministers that ever happened through Brother Hagin. But you'd get people come and he'd be disappointed. You know, well, you might as well pack your bag and go home. Don't even bother coming to your class. Don't even bother going there and sitting in prayer and healing school if that's the way you're going to think. Just go home. Ain't going to do you any good to be there. Because you're there about a person. You ain't there about Jesus to begin with. You're there about a person. You got to get that stuff out of you. And people get over and they get their ideas. That's one thing, you want to learn to be led by the Spirit. That's why the Spirit of God told me as a baby Christian, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. That's why we got so many nothing Christians. They ain't got a clue what's going on. Most Christians live by the mercy of God and not by faith. They live by mercy. What they get from God is they get by mercy. They don't get by they believe for a thing. God just had mercy on their stupidity. That's why you want to learn to be led by the Spirit. Because if you do, I tell you, things just work out a whole lot better. A whole lot better. And so learn to do that. And here really we see, here's the way the Holy Spirit really determined to minister to this guy. But that's what you want to follow those. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin concerning anointing the Christian with oil and praying the prayer of faith over them, having the elders do it. Jesus told him, really, that was a way for baby Christians, for people that didn't understand yet about faith and how it worked. That God would supply for them because, see, have somebody else pray the prayer of faith because they couldn't. You realize, this is not the prayer of agreement was back in James. That wasn't a prayer of agreement. Agreement was two or three. These people didn't come and ask them agree with them. The elder is praying the prayer of faith. Somebody asked me to agree with them, they're going to do the praying the prayer. Because I have to agree with what they're praying. It's not them agreeing with what I'm praying, unless I ask them to agree with what I'm praying. Understand that? So it isn't really that person operating. That person is really coming to get somebody else to believe for them. They're looking to somebody else. And for a time, you can do that to people, but you can't keep doing that to people all the time. You can't keep working it that way. And but we want to see it. God has supplied all kinds of things, which is really, we need to understand, there's nothing the matter with the James thing. That's a great thing because, see, God is looking to provide healing in many different ways to get healing to people. He wants to do it. That's why we have all these methods and all these things of doing. God is looking to get people healed, people well. So we see here, this guy's made well, not praying. Peter just says, you know, tells this guy to rise up and walk in Jesus' name. And we can see this. We know it wasn't the guy's faith. The guy didn't even stand up on his own. Peter grabbed his hand and pulled him up. That's what it says. So we know it's not the guy's faith. It's not. He didn't have faith to be healed. We don't even know that he ever heard the word to be, have faith to be healed. We don't know if he ever listened to Jesus, even in preaching in the temple. We don't know that. Another way we want to look at is in the book of Acts, which goes to the Acts to the 19th chapter. And in Acts the 19th chapter, there is said here. Let me go out here and look at this, Acts 19. Acts the 19th chapter. And in chapter 19, verse 11 says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from the body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them." So we see here, really, dealing with this area, people were healed. Sickness, evil spirits went out of people. And here it says handkerchiefs and aprons, in other words. In talking about this, Kenneth Hagin did some experimenting over the years on this thing when the anointing would be on him to find out what the anointing would go into. And he talked about, he said the anointing would go into cloth. We have the woman with the issue of blood. She touched Jesus' garment and she was made well. And we need to know this, that the healing anointing can go into cloth. Now, Brother Hagin said he tried to have it to go into other things and couldn't get it to go in. But you can tell if the anointing flows into something. You can tell that. He said cloth seemed to be, he said, in a sense, is almost like a storage battery. You can actually store the anointing for a time. Now, the human body could also can hold the anointing. In fact, we know that the human body, really, if you understand that, I mean, just think about Elisha had so much healing anointing in him that after death, his bones were still holding that anointing, that when they put a dead man in his grave, the guy came back to life. So the human body is a carrier of the anointing. That's why people say, well, I want a healing anointing. Well, you got one, use it. The human body holds anointing. So understand this. When you're prayed for, the anointing can go into your body, and it can go in there, either stay dormant or it can be active. That's up to you, whether your faith does something about it. You need to understand to keep the anointing active in you. You need to do that. See, people get prayed and they feel something. I felt the anointing, but they go home, they don't feel any more anointing, so, well, it must have went away. No, it didn't go away. It's in your body. By faith, you keep it active in you to perform in you what you believe for. This is why many people don't get healed. Well, I felt the anointing go in me, why don't I get well? I can tell you exactly, because you never operated in faith. You didn't operate in faith toward. You're operating toward feelings. If the feeling stops, well, the anointing must have left. Well, I'm sorry, you don't. That ain't the way it works. So you keep it turned on. We find here that the anointing would actually go in to handkerchiefs or aprons, and when it says when they were brought from his body to the sick, the diseases left them, and it says and evil spirits went out of them. And so this was one method that God used to bring healing to people. And again, you know, this may not work all the time for an individual. This doesn't mean that I can sit at home, don't follow God, don't walk with God, don't ever go to a meeting where I need to be. I just send them an envelope with a handkerchief in it. You pray over it, send me back home. I'm watching TV. Thank you. And I'm going to put it on me and it's going to work. So you need to know, you need to understand this. And this is why it's to be led by the Spirit. You know, sometimes you're going to have to go someplace where a person's going to have to lay hands on you or minister to you sometimes or do that. You're going to have to go right there to it. You ain't going to get it any other way. That's what God's going to decide. That's why you've got to learn to be led by the Spirit. There's one thing as I've learned about anointings. There's some anointings you will never get until you get into the presence of the person that has it. You will never get it. You ain't going to get it watching TV. It'll never happen. They can sit and pray and say, some of these guys say things, well, you know, you're going to get this and that. Well, let me tell you what, it don't work. It's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. Well, I'm going to pray out there, and this anointing that's on me is going to get on all of you. This anointing on me to heal the sick is going to get on all of you out there. Well, tell me how many of them it gets on. Do you know, if you want an anointing like that, you're going to have to follow the person closely. That just doesn't pass on to the lazy. I'm just sorry. It will not. See, that's why the Lord told me to stay close to Brother Hagin, and that's why he told me to stay close to Randall Greer. It's about anointing. You ain't going to get it buying CDs getting the MP3s. It don't come that way. You're going to have to get in the presence of some things to get it. Now, God provides methods and He provides things, just like here with this. He provides things. He will do those kinds of things for at times for individuals, and then again, you'll have this. And I've seen it already. Most of the times, the handkerchief and apron things that God has used me with people were people who were baby Christians or people, you know, that really didn't understand about the healing anointing. They didn't understand. They never really been taught about it. They didn't know. And that. But it's people generally going on. People are going to have to respond to things. You're going to have to respond to things yourself and to do it. If you had somebody that you didn't know about it or understand about it or anything, they may send an handkerchief or an apron to somebody to pray over. I mean, many people, I know that Kenneth Hagin Ministries, they used to always do at camp meeting and even do in between. But during those times of camp meeting or other major meetings, they would have a lot of people would come. They would bring handkerchiefs and aprons and ask them or bring something of a cloth for them to pray over to take it to someone after the meeting. Well, you heard some really good you know, things would happen out of it, but probably out of the majority, nothing happened. There's reasons for that. You know, there's reasons. You can't turn around and take a person who doesn't develop themselves in the areas of faith who have the opportunity and keep going, well, I'm gonna go get something for them and take it back for them to lay on it. If they won't develop themselves, it won't work. People do have a responsibility to do that, you know. You know, you get people that, you know, they go to meetings, and sometimes, you know, it's just I've seen people by faith go to meetings. Sometimes you have to go to the presence of a person to be healed. You have to go there. You're gonna have to do something. That's part of your actions of faith. You know, where people say, yeah, well, I'm sick and I don't feel good. Well, you can always go to the doctor. You go sit in that office down there for, you know, and waste 2 or 3 hours. But man, you can't go for an hour or two to a service because that's just too much. But we can be sick and go sit in a doctor's office. And boy, we can go through all that. Oh yeah. Amen. Because why? Well, the doctor's God. That's why. God ain't going to show up down here at the church I go to. I lie every time I sing and say He is. I don't believe none of that. See, we talk that stuff. Actions prove always what you believe. If you thought God was someplace, you'd go. I've spent a lot of money over the years going places. And I want to tell you what, I've gotten things that other people don't get. It's one thing about it. You're going to have to spend your money to go after things with God. This is why I think the TV has been a great detriment to Christians. Because they've been taught that you're going to sit home and watch it all and you're going to get it. And you don't. You're going to have to go. You've got to put your faith out. You've got to go sit down. There's a difference between the anointing of being in a meeting and watching a meeting. It's another thing to be in the presence. It's another thing to be in the presence when that anointing is manifested at that place. That is totally different than being on camera. It's totally different. And people need to know and understand. We have today, we have the McDonald's Christianity, and everybody expects things to come easily. It don't come easily. You know, Randy Greer talks about the fact of how much he spent one time to just get a hold of one CD. It was a CD or a tape he wanted to get a hold of. How much he paid to get a hold. He spent thousands of dollars just getting a hold of this one teaching. Be able to get it. And but you know, it's like people go spend $1 million a doctor, put $10 in an offering plate, and expect God to do something. People don't understand is what they do. And see, this is one of the things is what you'll sow into. I've sown a ton of money, and I've sown a ton of money into the gospel. We've sown a ton of money into the gospel, and we've sowed it. Sometimes for us to go, because there's one thing, I want an anointing on my life. I am not happy to be the average Christian. I wouldn't even serve God if I was going to be the average Christian. I wouldn't even bother. I'd just stay home. Because if that's all we're going to do, it ain't worth it. Is go after. But we want to find God provided a method. That doesn't mean this, and we need to understand that this method doesn't mean that I go just get somebody to do something for me to come and you know, do it, that I don't have to go after things. You're still going to have to go after stuff. God's going to expect it. But this is a method that God can use. and does use. I've used it with people. I know it works in the areas of sickness because I've seen it work with that, but I've also seen it work in the areas of demonic powers. I've prayed over things, clause already, gave it to a person who's dealing with demonic powers, bugging them, and demons did leave them. It left them. So these things work. But then again, we want to be led by the Spirit. We need to be doing that, is to be led by the Spirit. God worked in this way, but you need to understand Paul's ministry. Paul's ministry in doing this, most of the times Paul was a missionary, Paul was an apostle, he was a sent one. He was like a missionary evangelist, is what Paul was in many ways. Paul went into places and preached. These miracles and stuff were mostly happening to people that weren't saved. They weren't saved. And so we need to understand, as Christians, God wants us to go to a higher level. We know with Oral Roberts, you know, proved that out through his ministry and all the surveys and things that they did over the years with the big tent meetings and that stuff. People who were born again and set in churches and were taught about healing, very few percentage of them ever got healed in his meetings. Very few percentage of them. Most of the people that got healed in his meetings, the majority of them were people who were either sinners, you know, didn't know about God, healed them to witness to them that Jesus Christ is alive. Or people who weren't taught in churches, you know, they came from churches that didn't believe in healing and things like that, God bore witness. But people who were in Spirit-filled churches where they were taught about it, only a small percentage, in fact, under 10% of those who were prayed for got healed in his services. See, we need to understand these things, because why? God will always expect you to do to operate what you know. He always will. You know, the free ride stops. You know, I give Braden a lot of free rides and carry him around. When he's 14 years old, his pawpaw ain't carrying him. This is the church world today. 95% of the Christians in America today are in a playpen. That's where they're at. They're playpen Christians. Oh, loads of them think are really spiritual. Really. They're playpen Christians. They don't know how this stuff works or what goes on anyhow. They talk, say all. I'll tell you this. Most ministers you listen to on TV are baby Christians. It's amazing with stuff that they'll say. They talk about, but most of what the stuff they're talking about is more psychological than spiritual. People don't even know it. It's to appease your soul, your flesh. It's to make you feel good, you can live like hell and feel good. You can. It's to appease you. Everything's going to, don't worry, everything's going to, I'm going to pray and take care of it. Just give back. I watched one time a ministry. There was probably standing there were, I watched this on TV, 10 major ministers, all of them together. If I mention all their names, everybody know who they are. Big names. They had a pallet sitting in the middle on the stage they were on, and had this pallet was just stacked with papers of people with prayer requests. And it's completely stacked. I mean, how many you could put? That thing must have been 4 feet high or more. Just, so you figure single layer. I mean, look at a ream of paper holds 500. This thing's 4 feet high, and it's a 4x4 pallet. And this thing's stacked there. All this prayer request. One of the major evangelists on TV, major guys, steps up to it and said, "We're going to pray for this people. We're going to break the power of the devil over your life, and the devil will never bother you again." I just turned the TV off. I thought, I ain't listening to these knuckleheads. This guy's an idiot. The devil didn't ever quit just bugging Jesus again. Said he left him for a time. I'm going to tell you, if he didn't stay away from Jesus, he ain't going to pack up and leave and never bug you again. Get over it. But you know what? That's one of the worst things that he could ever said to people. Because you know what's going to happen to those poor people? The devil's going to bug them, and they're going to think, something's wrong with me. This stuff don't work for me. Something must be the matter with me. Ain't nothing matter with them. It's that idiot standing on the stage that don't know God. That's a serious thing to tell people. That the devil's never going to bother you again. I'm sorry. I've learned. God taught me personally how to deal with demons and stuff. And you know what? I've always had to use it. Why teach me if I didn't need to? See, you got to watch what these people say. They'll say things to you, and then what happens? See, people thinking there's something wrong with me. See, they get tested and tried. They come along, and the devil starts bugging them in an area, and they think, well, why? What happened? He ain't supposed to bug me anymore. And after a while, they won't listen to anybody preaching. Well, these guys, they tell me stuff, and it don't work. After a while, the person goes out in the world and says, that's a bunch of junk. He was right. It was a bunch of junk. But they thought these guys were being honest. I'd hate to, to that minister especially, I mean, he's done a lot of good things, but that day he did an awful, evil thing. Is to say that to people. The devil's never going to bother you again. It's like, wow. So we need to be careful. So we're talking about methods here that God heals. We need to understand this, that these are ways and means that God provides things. But I just want to encourage you to learn to be led by the Spirit of God on what to do as yourself. Especially, you need to know this, is where you are in faith. If you don't understand where you're at in faith, you're always going to have problems in the areas. You need to understand where you can believe, because God will always want to develop your faith and take you to a higher level. So there's means and stuff sometimes that He will not allow you to use, because He wants you to step into another place. He's always did that with me. There's things He would not allow me to do. There's things that the Lord told me, you're not going to get healed that way. You ain't going to use that. You can't walk in that. You know better. You need to step to something more. So you need to learn, led by the Spirit. If you don't know where your faith is at, how far your faith can go, you don't know that. You're going to have a hard time dealing with things. That's why you have to know. If you listen to your spirit, you learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll know where you can stand in faith and where you can't. A lot of people don't know where they can stand or where they can't stand. Well, then if you don't know, then you don't know that if you're in faith. You have to know whether or not you're believing God. And so, but God will always lead you in the place where He's going to take you to something higher. He'll always want to do that. God wants to take every believer to the place where they walk in divine health. That's where He'd like to take people. But I would say this, there's no way that even 1% of Christians even understand how to do that. There's not even 1%. I don't know if most ministers, I'd say probably 99% of most ministers on TV who are spirit-filled talk about healing even understand how to do that. Is why? Because they've never been taught it. And most of them would not listen to it if you taught them. If you told them, they would tell them, no. They stay over in this other level. They don't like to go over there. Because there's one thing, it will put a demand on us. I found this. When I asked God for big things, there was always a big demand put on me. You're not going to get big things. You know, you're not going to get what the CEO of the company makes till you're doing his job. These people that are always trying to get what their boss makes. You aren't supposed to. God don't intend to ever give you what the boss makes till you become the boss. God won't do it. Heaven will not give you what somebody else worked for. He's going to expect you. You know, He'll treat a baby like a baby. He'll treat them like a baby. He'll do things for a baby because they can't. You know, and people go through stages. We go through development stages like you do in a natural. Some people are, in, I would say probably most Christians are in a babyhood stage, really. Then you have a group that are in that sort of, put from about kindergarten to fifth grade. They're in that stand. They're in that. God deals with them. There's many people that stay in that area. They'll stay in that. Then you got the people over here that sort of get over in the areas that start into the teen stuff. And, most Christians never even reach that. They never even reach into that adolescent age. They don't even develop up to that point. But you're going to have to learn because, see, I guess people would today. People would give the responsibility to a 16-year-old, you know, they'd let them run the country if they had to. You know, people are so stupid. But generally, most people that have any kind of brain at all, you wouldn't give a 16-year-old the responsibility of somebody you would, that is in their 30s or something like that who has matured some. There's a lot of people today in their 60s, I'm going to tell you what, they ain't even in their, they act worse than the teenagers. But you got to understand, you need to know where you are spiritually. See, this is where a lot of people don't know where they are in their spiritual development. You have to understand where you're at in your spiritual development. You may have certain areas you might be pretty mature in. You might have some areas you're a downright baby in. Well, sure, I'm serious. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's sort of, it would be like, you have a guy who goes to college and maybe gets a degree in a certain thing in a certain area, maybe very smart, know things in that area. But you know, he decides he wants to learn and get a degree in something else. Well, he has to come over, and all of a sudden he starts off as a baby in that area. In that area, he's a baby. In that area, he doesn't. So what does he have? He has to develop in that area. So you can have areas of your life that you're really good at. It's like God developed me over in the areas of healing, but that's one of the areas he wanted me to teach people about, the areas of healing, how it works, what goes on over there. You know, I was interested, just like John G. Lake. I wanted to know how God heals. I don't know what, you know, it wasn't important to me to know that God can heal. I'm not really interested in that because I'm not going to go far just knowing that. I want to know how he does it. I found out how he does it. Most people that are looking, and Christians talk about believing for healing, they're on a very low stage because they don't know how God does it. They're just trying to get it. But you got to, if you want to really succeed, you want to learn how he does it. So there's things in scriptures we're talking about how he does it. There's ways that he does things, methods he uses, but we need to know that all these methods, you know, sometimes are not, we may use them, some of these methods for a time, but we may not always use them. God may not let us walk in that area. It's like last week when I talked about divine health and talked about God's plan for us in that area. God, in other words, there's a goal for us to shoot at. There's a place for us to shoot. We might not be there at that place. But if the goal is never presented, you can never go there. Most healing ministries never show anybody where, you know, divine healing. They never show it to them. Nobody can go there because they don't even know it exists. Most people believe you get sick and then get well. And you believe God for healing. That's why so many people get sick. That's why I like the flu. I learned how to keep the flu off of me. I know how it works. I know how to keep it off of me. I know what to do. But I learn it over time. I didn't learn it the first day I decided I was going there. But I learn it over time of how to do that. But you know what? If I hadn't listened to Kenneth Hagin and been taught, I wouldn't know how to do it. I wouldn't have learned how to do it if I hadn't sat and listened. Listen to somebody who told me the place, how you could walk there and how I could go there. But it is a higher level. It's a higher level. And so I had to have a goal to shoot at to be able to get there. If I wouldn't have known that existed, I would have thought like most people. Well, you just get sick and believe God to get healed. That's what I'd have been living at. I would have stayed there. But if nobody ever told me, well, if I never learn it. So what I did is I went over and began to ask God to teach me how to walk. And I said, God, I want to learn how to do this. I want to learn how. I don't want to get sick. I don't know about you guys. I hate to be sick. Most people don't like, you know, they aren't in a place where they hate sickness enough. And if you don't learn around and totally despise sickness, I don't care if you know where divine healing's at, you'll never go there. Because as long as you treat sickness as any kind of norm or any kind of normal thing, you haven't arrived place. When sickness comes to you, I don't care if it's a headache. I don't care what it is. I hate it. Most people don't. They'll just walk right to the medicine cabinet, throw something in their mouth. They don't hate it. They'll let it come and just turn around and try to block the pain. I want to know how to stop it. I don't want to just stop the pain. Good to stop the pain. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to know how to stop it. And I'll tell you what. For over 30 years, I have been stopping headaches. I very seldom ever one ever tries. I've gone sometimes maybe as long as 10 years in between before I ever even had it. And I, when it comes, I know how to stop it. And I stop it quick. I learn how to do it. But if you don't know how to do that and you don't learn that, if you don't see that, if you don't treat it like, hey, you know, it's just a normal thing. Well, you know, sometimes I get headaches. You got to stop it. Say, hey. This ain't right. This thing ain't good. This, you know, this is not God's plan that I should have a headache. This thing don't belong to me. I ain't having it. I ain't going to cover it up. I'm going to stop it. To me, that was the nicest thing in the world to find out I could stop things. It was the nicest thing in the world for me not to have the flu. That's the nicest thing in the world. is I found out I didn't have to have it. It came from the devil. So get yourself over into those areas, just like here with this handkerchief and apron thing that we're discussing here. Get yourself into that area where you walk in the light of these things. These are ways that God can minister to you. But you know, I don't ever think about being ministered to in this way. I've let God use me in that way to minister to people. Because see, I want to walk in a higher level. So ministering to people, God can use these methods. I have had already in some times where, you know, we've had over the years of people, say just in our church, where somebody came up and had a loved one and said, you know, pray, would you pray, you know, over for my loved one, you know, and we lay hands on an individual. And, you know, people do that in a sense in proxy, but we pray for an individual. But sometimes I've laid hands on a person and the Lord said to me, you know, anoint a handkerchief, pray over it and give it to him and tell him to take it to the person. Tell him to do that. Sometimes he tells me to do that. So you need to learn to do that. This is one of the things. God may tell you to do something like this for somebody. Pay attention. You know, we can just sometimes pray and nothing. Say, well, why did God, sometimes I've had people we pray for an individual, laid hands on them for somebody else, and the person got completely healed. So sometimes God will do it. Somebody stand in proxy. I've had some times that I've known with people standing as proxy for someone, it ain't going to work. I've known it, it's not going to work. That there's a responsibility that the person has. It's the person who has to do something. So you know those things. Sometimes you need to know that. So understand, these are methods that God used, but it's not the only method. It's not the only thing that God does. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Learn to do that. We had an incident we talked about is how a person was healed. And really it's through the spoken word. Just a person believes the word and is healed. That is one of the methods that God uses. And we need to understand this is a higher method. And we find out it being a higher method. In Luke the 7th chapter, we had the incident there. We talked about this before. But this is a higher method, and we find out from Jesus' comments concerning the individual. And here we found that in verse 1 of the 7th chapter of Luke, it says, "Now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. When they came, came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one from whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation, has built us a synagogue. Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, 'Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof.' He said, 'Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to the one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turned around, and said to the crowd that followed him, 'I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.' And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick." So here we find this, but he said, he told it. This is a higher level of faith. I haven't found this kind of faith. He said, really, what he's saying is among the Jews. These are God's covenant people. I haven't found it. So there's a level of faith. This man stood in a level of faith that was higher, where Jesus did not have to be present. He said to Jesus, "You just say the word, and that's all I need." Well, you know this. This is one of the areas that the Lord taught me in concerning healing. He told me, you know, he wouldn't allow me to have somebody lay hands on me. He told me he wanted to train me. You need to learn to just believe the word and be healed. Because you need to understand this. If people don't develop into these areas, we have many preachers standing, teaching about these things, but they never walk in them themselves. And I will tell you what, they don't have the anointing to teach it either. They give the information, but it don't change people's lives. I don't care if you know the right thing. If you don't have the anointing to say it, it's just wind blowing. See, you can say things, and this is where people don't understand. It's one thing to give information. There's another thing to be anointed to say it. makes a huge difference. I don't care if a person has a gift to preach. That don't mean he's anointed to preach. Anointing to preach is another thing. You know, we need to understand the difference between going and being sent. The church don't know about that. We have all kind of people who have went, but they weren't ever sent. Ain't no point in going if you don't have the anointing. There ain't no point in going. If you don't, and there's one thing about it. God is not going to anoint people to preach what they don't do. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this. He said, I allowed you to go through certain things and stuff so you could teach my people faith. See, you had to learn to do things. Now you're qualified. Now God will anoint you to go teach it because what you work it. You operate in it. There's many people that are preaching healing and talk about healing on TV. And you know what? They don't know nothing about healing, divine healing. They don't know a thing about it. They go to doctors and it's just as often as much. I have been around ministers already. I tell you what, I will guarantee you, I've been around ministers who have big names, who them and their family go to a doctor faster than the people do in our church. And yet they stand in what people call big ministries. And I'm going to tell you what, I have been around them. I've been in their homes. And those people, every little thing their kid gets, they get medicine immediately. The last thing they do is pray. They'll stand out in front of groups and huge crowds and tell people all kinds of stuff, and they don't even do it themselves. I don't want to go there. You know? It's like E.W. Kenyon said, it seems in the church world today, he said, E.W. Kenyon wrote this years ago. He said the Christians keep playing a game of bluff, trying to get people to do what they don't do themselves. You learn to walk in it. You know, I don't even think of a person going to a doctor, but that should never be first choice. Why learn about healing if that's the first choice? Why even bother? Why even bother if that's first choice? I mean, it's nonsense. It don't even make sense. I believe God's a healer, but first choice, I'm going to do natural right away. You know, people got to get out from this kind of thinking and get out from this kind of thing. And I'm serious. I knew people at Rhema who were instructors at Rhema, and their kids, I knew them personally, and I don't know if their kids ever got healed one time believing God for anything. I never knew one time. Their kids always went to the doctor for everything. Every sniffle, any time of cold, they're at the doctor. Dear Lord, do you know, if you have to go to the doctor as soon as you get a cold, there's something wrong with your brain. You're an idiot. My God. There's no reason, just general cold, anybody going to a doctor. You know what your doctor, all you're going to do is pay a doctor bill and he's going to tell you what they've been telling you to do to begin with. But you know to do. But people, you know what? They're afraid of everything. Fear everything. Faith in a doctor. See, you can't walk over in these things and go to these places. This man came to a place, in other words, can you imagine this? This guy is not in the covenant of Israel, but yet he understands that believing what Jesus said is enough. He believed that. He believed that was enough. He operated. Jesus said, I have not found that kind of faith. In other words, there was an area of faith that he found it. Like Brother Hagin used to teach us. He said, this is the highest level of faith. Just believe what the Word says. That's the highest level you can go to. Believe what the Word says. And just do it. Just believe what the Word says. Do it. The Word says it, believe it. Now, I want to show you, because there's another example, and I want to show you this. This has always been an interesting example, because you don't find this. Most people that came to Jesus were believing a certain way. Jesus healed them the way that they came. Here we have an incident in the Gospel of John. Let's turn back to John, the fourth chapter. I want to show you in John, the fourth chapter, there's a guy came to Jesus. John, the fourth chapter, in verse 46, it says this. Now, a lot of people tie this as being the same person. This isn't. I want you to say, says, so Jesus, in verse 46 in John, the fourth chapter, says, so Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he had made the water turn to wine, and there was a certain, it says, a nobleman there. In other words, it was a royal official. He said, whose son was sick. Now, this is a person's son. This isn't a servant. Now, was sick at Capernaum. Now this guy's sick at Capernaum. He was the last time in Capernaum minister. The guy who was sick, his master sent somebody to Capernaum to tell him about this. This is somebody sick at Capernaum. This is a different person. This is a nobleman. In other words, this is a ruler. And I'll tell you what it is. It's a ruler of the Jews. We're going to find out that Jesus Christ is going to expect something different of him than he did of concerning the guy who was a Roman Jew who wasn't a Jew, who was a Roman, who wasn't a Jew. He was would head right to that guy's house to heal him. But look at this. He says, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea to Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. This guy comes directly. For he was at the point of death. So then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Jesus rebuked him. Oh, could you imagine if a minister did something like that in public today? Oh, the Christians would crucify him, haul him off, and nail him to a cross in 2 seconds. Oh, well, how could you be so mean? This guy's poor son is sick. Jesus is tired of unbelieving Jews. Sometimes I get tired of unbelieving Christians. Because they just never believe the Bible. They just never believe the Word. They just never believe their covenant. Jesus gives his... The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. Jesus ain't going to his house. Jesus put this guy in the spot. Your son lives, go. Well, the guy was smart enough. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now coming down, his servant met him and told him, saying, your son lives. So then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. And so you want to see this. Here we find, and here's why. See, Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus didn't just do things. Generally, see, if the Spirit didn't say and a person would come, he would do what they wanted. When those Jews asked him to get down to that guy's house, he just followed him, didn't he? Down the centurion's house. Well, we're going to go there. We're going to go and we're going to minister. This guy comes. Jesus didn't do it. He said, come down. You come down. My son, come down and heal my son. He said, and he rebukes the guy. Why? He expected something out of this man. Well, and the man did. Then the man stepped up to it. The man stepped up to it. And we need to know that. You need to understand when people are ministering to you. If you ask somebody to minister to you in healing, if you're not willing to listen to what they say, don't go ask them to minister to you. I have had it numbers of times where people came, but I told them something, but that isn't what they wanted to hear. They wanted it a certain way. This guy was smart enough to say, okay, Jesus said it so, I'm going to go do it. Many times people want it their way. You need to learn to... There's no point going to an individual if you're not going to pay attention to what they say. See, the Lord told me, and I learned this. They tell us this even at Rhema. They said, you counsel a person and you give them something to do, that if they don't do it, don't counsel them no more. If they don't listen to you, don't counsel them. I learned this. If a person comes to me and oh, got a problem, help. You tell them what they need to do and they don't do it. They come back again. I just tell them, there's no need to talk about it. Told you what to do, you didn't do it. So no matter. You ain't going to believe what I tell you anyhow. So you don't believe I'm hearing from God anyway. There's no point in doing it. But you need to understand that for yourself. You need to learn it. You need to learn the fact is don't get yourself some preconceived ideas. If you go to somebody, if you went to them, then you should have the respect to listen to them. Why were you going to get them to, if you don't believe they heard from God, what on earth are you going to them to begin with? You don't believe they hear from God. See, to me it shows that people are pretty stupid a lot of the time. People are just downright stupid. They go play their religious games, they wonder why things don't work, because what they do is nothing but like the world does. You know, the world would never, people don't check out, and they'll go to the same doctor that's killed them and they don't know what's going on and understand, they don't have enough sense to go get somebody else. No, they'll just, well, my doctor said, well, has it been helping? No, but I like him. Well, good, you idiot. Stay sick. I'm telling you, no, it doesn't sound kind, but you know, people are so blinded in their ignorance. It is amazing to me. The devil has most people so blinded and stupid. I mean, they're like a bunch of little babies running. They're like in the crib, and they just can't do for themselves. They can't see around them. And this one thing, we got to step to higher levels. You got to walk in the light. You got to walk in the light. It's one of the things, you know, it's just like a disciples, you know, calling Jesus Master. Jesus Christ said this himself. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? That's what he said. There's no point calling Jesus Lord if you ain't listening to him. If you're going to listen to Jesus, don't bother calling him Lord, because the only Lord that I have is the one that I listen to. And if it's me, then I'm Lord. Then I'm my Lord. And we need to understand that. And that's why the whole thing of it is when what I'm doing, if I'm going to somebody else to have them ministering to me, what I'm doing is acting in a sense that they're on a higher level than me. Why would I be going to them if I was on a higher level than them? Ain't that right? Why do you go to a doctor? You believe he's on a higher level concerning medicine. That's why you go. I'll tell you what. This is why many people don't get anything from ministers, because most Christians, their doctor is a lot higher level than their pastor or apostle or prophet, evangelist, or any of them. Their doctor is on a much higher level to them. And we need to understand these things. This is why a lot of stuff don't work for people. Those people, they play. People, if you ask him, oh, I love God more. No, you don't. Your actions prove what you love. If the doctor told you what you need to do is jump out the window holding a fruit basket over your head, and you're going to feel, then go do it. Oh, if you do this or you do that, right out the door and do it. You get a minister stand in front of a person they go to and tells them to do something. I mean, how many people won't do it? Oh, man, my legs bother me and all that stuff. Rise up and walk. Oh, I can't. My legs are bothering me and that kind of stuff. They want the doctor, and the doctor say, well, stand up for us. They would, yeah, well, I just can't. They had work to do what the doctor said. Folks, this is good preaching anyhow. Folks, I've been around this for years. I've watched it for years. I've taken people to doctors already, Christians who are believing God to be healing. I've taken them to doctors and watched them listen to the doctor 100% more than they'd ever listen to anything I said about healing. Folks, I've been there. I've walked in it. I've lived it. But this is one of the things that we need to understand these days. If we get a hold of these things, God wants to take us, and this one thing is in teaching this in the areas of healing. We're looking at these steps of things that we need to know. But we need to come to a higher level. We need to come as believers, is taking ourselves to a higher level in believing God. Is getting ourselves, don't be satisfied on the area that you believe. Want to go to even more, to something. I mean, in other areas of your life, you know, if you want to believe God, the areas of finances, well, you're going to have to step to a higher level. I will guarantee you, if you desire to go there, God is going to start putting demands on you where you have not been before. He's going to ask you to give things and do things that you have never done before. You know, I just think, and I made a commitment concerning, you know, with Randall Greer's ministries. One of the things he asked if be willing to do things to help out concerning his ministry, if it meant travel, even sometime at my own expense, or even to other nations and that stuff. And you know, I tell you, sit down and think, you know, I can look at my bank account and say, wow, I shouldn't be traveling to other nations. But you know, I know that I need to stretch to do it, and I'm going to make a commitment to do it. I'll never reach that point till I make a commitment to do it. See, God will have you stretch out into something. You need to do. You're going to have to do that. If you want to, you're never, I don't, nobody's going to sit down and believe God for millions of dollars with $10 faith that will not step out and make commitments into things. If you won't make a commitment to give a more money to something, you're never going to reach a place. You're going to have to do that. You can't stay at the place that you give and on the place that you walk now. Nobody's going to be just a tither and walk into a place where they're going to believe God for huge amounts of money. You're not going to go there because it's going to require you to step in. God's going to always put you into something where there's going to be a greater demand. It requires it. You know? It's just like on a job. I mean, no company is going to stay running if they pay everybody what the CEO makes without that responsibility. No company is going to survive. The kingdom of God couldn't survive doing what we want. We want something for nothing. We want a Santa Claus God. It doesn't work that way. There's a demand. As the Lord told me one time concerning just the areas of healing, the Lord spoke to me one time concerning an area where I was standing over and believing God a certain thing, and He said this to me, "You ain't getting healed that way." He said, "I ain't going to let you stand where you've been standing on this stuff again." He said, "You need to step up." He said, "You need to do better." I said, "Well, yeah. I thought I was doing pretty good. You know, who's he talk to me? Man, I'm Mr. Spiritual. Let me alone. What are you talking about? I'm faith man." God wasn't happy with it. But you know what? The reason he said that thing to me, because I got over asking him about more. I wanted to step into some things deeper, so I asked for it. See, I found this over the years. There's many times people are asking God for more, and the preacher gets up and preaches a sermon that pushes them to a place that's more, and they don't like the sermon. They get mad at the preacher. "Well, I don't believe you have to do that. I don't believe you have to." And they sit and grump at the preacher. Oh, yeah. Been there, done that. See, people say, "I want to go further with God." And all of a sudden, the preacher preaches something that skins their knees a little bit. And, oh, he's mean. You should have never prayed and asked God. God gave him a message to get you up and go on. That isn't what I wanted to hear. I didn't really want to go on with God. I thought we were just supposed to say those things. They sound good when you're worshiping and stuff. And they sound nice. Like, "Oh yeah, I want you more than anything, Lord. I love you." He's going to find out. He's going to say, "You love me, then do this for me." "I'm sorry, we're not doing that. I love you. You're okay, but let's not go this far." It's fun, people. I'll tell you how. But you know what? You know, it seems like, but if you get out of the babyhood stage and you start stepping and finding out that what God's doing is leading you to something better, that these things aren't to hurt us. You know, I used to really rebel in some things sometimes. You know, you get in that there teenage time in your Christianity, you always know more than everybody else, and you're smarter than God. You know? Just like, hey, are they no different kids than, well, you know, my parents, they're just some old fogies, they ain't got a clue. They don't know, they just don't understand. This is one thing you know, that most of our nation today is nothing but a bunch of teenagers running around. Because, you know, well, our forefathers didn't know nothing. We have very little maturity, very few mature people. Most of our educated people in America, where education's given to teenagers that are a bunch of idiots. We're sending our teenagers, because most emotionally and everything else, most of our kids going to college today are about third graders. Emotionally. They are no more emotionally to be in charge. I just saw an article they said in England. The psychiatrist over there said that they should, you know, that people up now to 18 years old ought to be considered children. They ought to be considered children. I was 17 years old in the military. But today, you know what? And he is right, because emotionally, most 18 years old that I know, you know, they may be as high as, you know, 5 in what their responsibility. Most college graduates today, maybe 8 years old. Emotionally, they're no place to take responsibility or anything like that. They think because they come out of college, they sit around and did some stuff. Because most of them are going to college, never worked a day in their life, never did a thing. Turn around, sit around in school. Mom and dad paid for everything, did everything. The mom and dad didn't. The government paid for everything for them. And now they got to go out here and they go on jobs. And I constantly read things and articles of how these companies say, and these people come in and they just think everything ought to be given to them. They ain't doing nothing. Why do you think they're stealing and doing all the stuff that they're doing when they get in charge of something? Why do you think they're doing all these crazy stock deals and all this kind of stuff where they're ripping people off? It's why. It's because they're little kids sitting in a place of big money, self-centered, selfish. Did you ever notice, you know, those little kids, you know, when they're 5, 8, 10 years old, they're all pretty selfish, always thinking about themselves? This is one thing we can know. This is what our nation is sitting in out here. We Christians, God wants us to be adults. He wants every one of us to develop into adults. Take responsibility for our lives and take so if you're not responsibility for your life, you will never be of any aid to anybody else. You will be a detriment. That's one thing as I raised my kids. I told them when they were little, I would tell them all the time, you're not going to be a burden on society like the other kids. You're not going to grow up and be, you're going to be a person that's going to be responsible for your own life. I would never allow them to turn around and expect me to take care of everything in their life. I would not allow them to do that. You're going to have to learn to trust God. You're going to have to learn to take responsibility for what you do. You're going to have to do that. Well, you know what? They grew up that way. They take responsibility for their lives. They ain't waiting around for somebody else to do it for them. And people have to do that. Because, you know, if you don't, too many people are sitting over there looking for somebody else to take care of things. And they don't grow up. I just encourage you, grow up. Have a desire to be mature as a Christian. Have a desire. You know, just like you, for areas of your life that you're responsible in, let's take it to every area. I want to take it to every area of my life. I don't want to have some areas where I'm responsible and some I'm not. You know, I want to be responsible in all the areas. I want to come to where I want to be, you know, just like the centurion. You know, hey, Jesus, you said the word, that's enough for me. I'm going to take it as that. Thanks a lot. I want to do that. I want to be able to, I don't want to be bucking the system with God all the time. A lot of people are constantly bucking the system all the time. They're constantly bucking up against God's system, working against it. I don't want to be that. I want to be a person who God's doing something, wants to do something. You know, as Brother Hagin used to tell us, be quick to obey. I want to do that. I want to be quick to obey God when He tells me to do something. I haven't always been like that. I've drugged my feet at long periods of time sometimes is to do the will of God. But I don't want to stay there and doing that. You know, God did overlook and bless me in some things. And I'll tell you what, though, but I can't expect today for Him to do that by what I know. You know, when my kids learn how to tie their shoes, Daddy didn't tie their shoes anymore. See, most people, they know how to tie their shoes spiritually, but they still don't do it. They'll still call out to God to tie their shoes for them. They'll still call out for God to do something for them. What they've learned how to take care of. They've learned, they've heard it, they know how to do it, they understand it, but now give it to me down here on this lower level again. I want it down there. God, I just don't feel like tying my shoes this morning. You know, it just takes too much effort to bend over and slide them on my feet and tie them up. God, how about buy me a set of Velcro shoes? I want to tell you, heaven ain't got no Velcro shoes. There ain't none out there. Shall I tell you what? As you get older in Christianity, you're going to be demanded more. It's not like American society. You go ahead and retire, and that's what happens. That's why most older people's Christians' health goes. They retire from life. They retire spiritually. They retire. They quit. They think as they get older, you can lay back. I'm going to tell you what. If you get older, the devil will just try to kill you more. People need to understand these things. We need to wait. There needs to be an awakening in Christianity. And, you know, I know these things, I'm sure that they aren't talking about this on TV or the things I'm saying. I'm sure that they're not preaching this because you won't get a lot of checks that week. But I'm telling you, that's the way it is. It's one thing. I have been more, you know, over in the areas of dealing with my health and things. Why? Because you need to understand this. The health system is speaking against you as you get old. And most people, even Christians, will talk against you. If you follow the Word of God, they'll be speaking against you. When you get older, you know, your mind's going to go. You're going to have more health problems. And you don't believe how many born-again, Spirit-filled Christians in the last year have said things to me about their health. And I think, dear Lord, you need to get saved. Where are you coming from? they talk, well, boy, this getting older isn't easy. And I said, you have any spirit-filled Christians? I heard say that. Well, they may have been, I shouldn't call them spirit-filled, because maybe one time they were, but they're not now. They're not spirit-filled anymore. They're filled with the world's systems thinking. You know, as you get older, yeah, just getting older, man, you just get sick. Well, they're going to have what they say. That's what they got. They can sit and say all they want to believe God for healing. They're wasting people's time to get together to pray for them. They're wasting time because they're believing they're going to get sick. My health is going to go downhill more as I get older. You know, it's one thing from the standpoint of our body age. The fact of our body aging doesn't mean I have to get sick more. People think you got to die from sickness. You know, you can die just because your body just, you know, wore out. Because you just used it good. Most people that die today, their body is wore out from sickness and disease and not by use. It's been worn out by sickness and disease. And that's why they leave this earth, because sickness and disease tore up their body, not because of use. That's one thing I always admired my dad. My dad's body wore out by use. He is in his 80s working. It wore out by use. Most people that I know today, their bodies are wearing out by sickness and disease. It's wearing their bodies out. You know, it's quite amazing. I mean, my dad died at 90 years old and didn't have no blood pressure medicines and didn't have none of that kind of stuff and things. He did, and you know what? He wasn't even baptized in the Holy Ghost. But he knew more in those areas about the right things to do than most spirit-filled people do. He understood it more. It don't do me any good to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost for one purpose, ministry. That's what baptism's for. The baptism of the Holy Ghost isn't about keeping me well and sound. That's not what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is about. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is about ministry. The apostles, Jesus told them, don't go out there and minister till you receive power from on high. Don't go out there and preach. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for ministry. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is of no value if I ain't going to do anything. It's of no value. They ain't going to do a thing. Glory to God. So, believe in the Word. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said when he was preached in a Baptist church, when he was a Baptist pastor, before he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, we had more people healed in our Baptist church than the Spirit-filled churches did. Why? Because they taught healing. Baptism of the Holy Ghost don't heal you. Baptism of the Holy Spirit don't heal you. You get healed by the Word. He preached healing from the Word and his people got healed. Hallelujah. Well, that'll shake some things up. People hear that. See, because people thought they got filled with the Holy Ghost, that was going to be a big key to, it's about ministry. Holy Ghost is about ministering. That's what it's about. It's about me ministering the power of God to people. And so we need to wake up in that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you today. As Lord God, we've looked into your word, and Father, I thank you that your word is a delight. Father, I thank you for the anointing as we've spoken these things. Father, every one of us need to go to higher levels. We need to. And Father, we want to. Father, we don't want to stay in any kind of babyhood stage. Father, there are areas maybe in our life we walk as adults in. There's areas of our life where we understand. But Lord God, there are areas of all of our lives, Lord God, where we need training. We need development. We need to walk and live and go to a higher place. Father God, I want to go to something higher. I want to walk in a higher place because, Lord, my desire is to see your will and plan take place in people's lives. And Father God, Father, you're limited by us of how we'll let you work through us to what you're going to be able to do in our community and in our nation around the world. Lord God, if we don't grow up, we'll limit you and following your plans and purposes. So Lord God, we don't want to stay as little children. We want to grow up and develop, Lord God, so we can do your will, so Jesus Christ is glorified and magnified in the earth, and people are drawn to him. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.